Infendo Radio is on now.
Best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 291. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight, we have Harrison Milfeld.
What's up, everybody?
And Holly Felmuth.
Hello, everybody.
On tonight's show, we have our standard three-part structure. We're going to start with what we've been playing, then move on to the Nintendo news, and our special feature for tonight is Mario's many power-ups in celebration of Mario 3D World and its many power-ups. If we jump straight into what we've been playing, if we start with Mario 3D World, so I've picked this up a couple of days ago. Harrison, I believe you also have 3D World now.
Yes, I do. I actually did finally download this one a couple days ago. And before I told you in the show, and I played past the first world right now, well, past the first castle in the world right now, and haven't gotten as far as I could right now. Then I haven't done multiplayer.
So what are you kind of your very first initial impressions? Because you say you've done the first world now.
It's very pretty. I get that. I did mention on Miiverse, whatever, it was like when I first turned into Cat Mario, I just wandered into the water. I'm like, no, this doesn't make sense. Cat Mario can't swim. But, like how tight as far as control is. Visually, it's stunning as far as what is a Mario game. Obviously what I've gotten to is obviously easy as enough right now, but I really enjoy so far some of the boss battles to some of these. I mean, they're the usual, not like, jump on head three times and rinse and repeat. I mean, a couple of these boss battles are actually kind of a little bit more getting into the clever and creativeness of, for instance, the Galaxy series.
Yeah, it definitely has similarities to the kind of the Galaxy games. It's kind of interesting how it kind of does play a mix between, say, obviously games like Galaxy and obviously its predecessor 3D Land, and I guess a bunch of different Mario games like 64. So yeah, you run around with the analog stick, but the speed of Mario isn't determined by how far you push the stick as such. It's by, you have the run button, which was kind of reintroduced in 3D Land. So that took me a little while to get reintroduced to. Did you have the same effect, Harrison, or?
Not really. In the case of this one, I never really got bothersome by that at all. But, switching subjects, do you find yourself finding the stamps, like, you know, aside, I mean, I've kind of been, my mission just to get each one of these in each level, almost, I mean, obviously that's the goal, but it's kind of coming really to the point where I'm liking this whole new feature to it.
Yeah, stamps are pretty cool to collect, and what's good about stamps is not only are they an extra collectible, but they're, you know, they're functional. You can chuck them in Miiverse posts.
Well, as great as this game is so far, and I know it's going to get even better and harder, it's one of those good games where I just realize when I'm playing on the gamepad, I'm like, you know, where's that revolutionary use for this? I mean, I'm still not seeing it.
For Mario Galaxy, although it did have some, you know, pointer stuff involved, what made that game great wasn't the fact that it was on the Wii. If the GameCube successor was a completely different, more traditional system, and Mario Galaxy came out for that, it pretty much would have been a very similar game. What it was very good at would have been unaffected by things like the pointer and the kind of the second player assist mode. It's just it had this, you know, really great kind of spherical world, 3D environments for Mario, and just really interesting level designs. Mario 3D World doesn't use, you know, particular the Wii U features, but I don't think it matters. It's kind of a really good Mario game in the sense that Galaxy was. It's using all these great Mario ideas and putting them into very interesting levels. But you do get the, you know, different perks, as you said, you can play it in off TV mode. The fact that it supports all the different Wii controllers now, which is a good sign for Nintendo. So not only can you use the Wii U gamepad, you can use the Wii remote, you can use classic controllers, you can use the Pro controllers, pretty much anything which will connect up to Wii, bar the balance board, you can play with 3D World. So it helps getting the multiplayer.
Hang on a minute, I just gotta ask, can you use the Wii remote plus nunchuck as well to control it?
I believe, yeah, you can use the nunchuck as well. So yeah, it's good to see a Nintendo first party game actually let you use any controller you want. For whatever reason, they've been funny about that in the past, and it's been left to third parties to have classic controller support.
And you know what? This is something that I enjoyed when I had with Super Smash Bros. Brawl, and to see this actually implemented more in other games is, you know, a welcome change.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, although it doesn't use a huge amount of the unique Wii U features, I do have to say, I mean, I'm probably enjoying this game as much as I did the original Galaxy back in the day. I think I'm in World 5 now, so I've kind of been blasting for it. And yeah, the level designs just get more impressive as you go through. And they don't, you know, linger on a single idea, seemingly for more than a single stage. Every now and again, you'll see another, you know, a similar idea kind of reintroduced, and they do generally something different with it. But you're just jumping from one idea to the next, and it really does keep you on your toes.
It's one of those games where when we first heard about this on, back at E3, you know, we were expecting this new grand single-player Mario experience, and yet we got was just a semi-sequel to Super Mario 3D Land. And, you know, given my opinions on the new Super Mario Brothers series, a series that which I like at heart, yet Nintendo, I just feel like, doesn't take as much challenges as far as to, make it seem like, well, their systems sell. I mean, they sell well, yet they don't take this enough to make ideas grow a little bit further. That is, it seems like I'm just playing the samey kind of thing over and over again. I mean, but with this one, I mean, it's a nice little appetizer. It's just, this is getting really, even the way how it's structured, I do like this a lot, whatever. I mean, yes, I would like another Galaxy-style game, but this one is just, you know, it's got great visuals, it's got, tight control, everything. It's just working so well.
Yeah, another thing we shouldn't forget is just the music in this game. Is it incredible?
Was some of it orchestrated at all? Because
I think some of it uses, real instruments. So, yeah, it's kind of a bit hard to describe, but just some of those tracks in the game, you're just kind of humming along even after the level's finished.
It's got a very jazzy feel to it. It
does have a very cool jazzy feel. Yeah, some of the boss battles have a nice jazzy feel as well, which we've seen in the trailers beforehand. I think, although this game did come from the 3D Land on the 3DS, and it's obvious moved or evolved from the 3DS to the Wii U game, I don't think it actually feels that much like 3D Land. It does feel more like, and it's going to be odd to say, more like a console experience. And I'm not sure if it's just because it has, you know, bigger level designs, or the fact that you can play it with multiplayer, or the fact that it's just shinier graphics, or, you know, more ambient music, or stuff like that. But it just feels more like a console experience. And some of the levels which really do kind of open up, you kind of do get vibes from, like, Mario Sunshine or 64 in them. Some of them are a lot more reminiscent to, say, a game like Galaxy. But I was expecting this to feel more kind of boxed in, which I kind of felt a lot when playing 3D Land. As fun as some of the ideas were in those levels, it did seem like they're all on, like, little micro stages.
That's when I got the feeling from 3D Land, or 3D Land as well. I mean, you had this really good experience with, you know, like, a great level design, but it ended so quickly, it seemed like, a lot of those levels.
Yeah, no, it's good to see this opens up, and they do also even more so throughout the different worlds. And yeah, I do want to stress, without spoiling anything here, they do keep changing up the ideas in this game, and although most of the world's kind of set in the generic world templates that we're used to from the Mario games, a lot of the time a particular stage would just ignore that fact and just be set in some grand location, wouldn't really take you off guard. I think a good example of that is, I can't remember if this was in the first world or the second world, but it is the silhouette level. Have you got there yet?
Not yet, but I've had people rumbling on Twitter and a couple of journalists who have been, playing the game really do like it. And it's kind of funny how a PS4 and the Xbox One being released right now, yet Mario 3D World is like that must-have game to actually play this, in the month of, this year.
Yeah, and also what's really great about 3D World is it's just kind of really accessible. And in terms of, I think it's going to have a wider appeal in single player than the Galaxy games did. But not only that, it's got the whole multiplayer angle. And this amazes me, it's not a detriment to the single player experience. If you're playing a game, if you play a level through on one player modes, it doesn't seem like you're missing out if you don't have three buddies. But then if you're playing around with more people, it doesn't feel like the game is being designed around a single-player experience. It just feels right either way. So, hopefully, a lot of people will get to play this game, And just from personal experience, my fiance Lucy doesn't really get on with the 2D Mario games. And I don't think she's really got on really with the traditional 3D Mario games so much. I mean, she likes the idea of them, but she's just not very good at them. And she admits that. But she jumped into 3D World because I was playing, and she just got on with the game, and she was really enjoying it. I'm not sure if it was, you know, entirely down to the cat suit or not, but she seemed to be having a great time. She was dying a lot less than she would do in a traditional Mario game. So I think this game has struck a really cool balance, because when I'm playing it, I don't feel like the game's being dumbed down at all. I'm being amazed by these really cool ideas it's throwing at me. At least in my household, it's introduced or reintroduced a new Mario player into the fold, which is quite impressive this far down the line.
It seems like this is just, you know, paving the road for whenever you have kids, now you have to introduce them to this.
Yeah, no, it seems perfect game for all ages, really.
I mean, what Mario game isn't?
Exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, I think this one can be more forgiving than some of the others as well. Just because you do have that kind of depth of field where you can kind of into the distance or nearer to the screen to walk around enemies sometimes. So player two can help you out. It's easier to avoid things if needed. But what you can also do, I mean, the new Super Mario Bros. On the Wii U launch, it had the boost mode for the gamepad where you could press on the screen to create blocks and such. But if you were doing that, you wouldn't be able to play in the game as a normal Mario character. But what you can do for 3D World, it's not called boost mode, but it's enabled for whoever's using the gamepad and controlling a normal character, is you can interact with certain things on the touchscreen. And I believe you can do this whether you're doing a main character or not. So you could use it as like a boost mode type experience. So if someone, you know, is really young and they're not quite up into the Mario yet, but they just want to kind of interact with the game and kind of play along with you, you could use that as well. So it's got this kind of huge breadth of accessibility, I think this game has. But I'm really enjoying that so far.
What was the name of that animal you, like, ride on in this water-based
game? Oh, yeah. I think it's called Plussy?
I had so much fun controlling that thing on there. I mean, I need to get three other people to play this right now, because I want to see exactly how well this works.
Because, yeah, then you have to fight over the controls, basically. So, yeah, three people going right and one person trying to go left, then you're, well, I guess slowly go right, but you need to kind of work together. So if you all jump at the same time, you do your full-length jump, but if only one person jumps, you do it like a little jump. So, yeah, that level alone would be quite funny. And it's just a good example of all the different ideas this game has. Because it just kind of chucks out at you, and on later worlds they'll chuck, you know, equally weird things and unique things at you. I just want to make sure we haven't... Oh, actually, one more thing I did want to mention about 3D World is when you're playing with multiplayer, it adds up your individual scores once you've grabbed the flagpole, and it ranks you of who had the highest score. And as well as the usual things you get scored for in Mario games, you also get scored for whoever, like, runs past the checkpoint first, or whoever grabs green stars, even if they've already been picked up in the past and they're, like, transparent green stars. And, of course, you know, your flagpole position. Whoever gets the most points gets a crown, which they get to wear into the next level.
Oh, I never did know that. I mean, not...
So it's going to make an interesting multiplayer atmosphere, especially if you've got more than two people. So you're just going to have this one person who has a big crown on their head. And I imagine that would be quite hard to avoid as the person who doesn't have a big crown on their head. And so if you're wearing the crown and you get hit by an enemy and get knocked out, the crown falls down for someone else to pick up. And whoever finishes a level with a crown, whether they're the person who earned the crown or not, they get bonus points as well. And I think that alone could be quite fun playing it with a bunch of different people. It kind of adds that almost Four Swords-esque counter-cooperative mode into what would normally be a...
To the point you're fighting over the controller, all that, and And that's an experience I wish I had with Four Swords, is that
exactly.
I never did play Four Swords on the GameCube.
Yeah, so you're all meant to be working together, but you're really just squabbling over this little thing which really doesn't matter, but the game has, you know, pushed you in that direction. I think that'll be it for 3D World for now. I will return that later on when we start talking about power-ups. However, I think now is a good time to move on to The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds. So I rambled on about A Link Between Worlds quite a lot on the last show, and I know Holly has recently picked it up, so I'll let Holly speak about how far she's got into the game and how she's enjoying it or not.
Well, I think last I checked I was close to 11 hours into the game. I've beaten the first three dungeons, obviously, and besides that, I think I've beaten four. How far are you, Lewis? I just want to compare.
Saying that, we may be similar. So, I assume you're in Lowrul now, yeah?
Yes.
And so you've done another dungeon since.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes, I've collected, I think, four paintings, saved four sages at this point.
So what you've done like six dungeons then. So you do at least two before you go to Lowrul, don't you? The smaller dungeons.
Yeah.
Okay, you're actually ahead of me now. So I've obviously got distracted with 3D World and another life distractions. Or you're just progressing through the game faster than me, to be fair. So I've only had the one actual painting in Lowrul currently.
I don't know if this will be a spoiler, but could you tell me like which dungeon, like kind of the theme of the dungeon or the item that you kind of had to use at that dungeon that you beat in Lowrul?
Yeah, it the Thief's Hideout.
Okay. I think that's meant to be the first one, but I
Yeah.
was wandering around aimlessly and ended up in some other random dungeon. And the Thief's Hideout was actually the last one I did, so it was the fourth one that I did in Lowrul.
So now I actually started with the dungeon in the Lost Woods, and for some reason I got stuck in it, and I didn't. I'm not sure it's because I didn't have an item I was meant to, or maybe I just got distracted. But I ended up in the Thief's Hideout in the end, and got completing that dungeon. So just wondering, in terms of the items you can rent, are you just renting them as you need them, or are you buying items? Have you rented everything, or?
I rented everything to begin with, and I have since spent thousands of rupees buying them. I think I've bought every single item except for the ice and the fire rods, because those are the most expensive.
Yeah.
I even bought the sand rod, which I.
There's a sand rod.
Yeah, and you don't actually have access to it right away. I don't know if that's spoiler or not, but I won't tell you anybody how to get it or anything. But yeah, I bought the sand rod and I bought every single other item except for the two other rods.
That's pretty cool. So have you lost like your mass collection of items yet since
Well,
renting them all?
I've died a total of two times at this point.
Okay.
The first time I died, I had already purchased, permanently several items, and so I only actually lost three that time. So I think I've been doing pretty good.
Yeah, sounds pretty good to me. So, also just wondering, have you been able to upgrade any items since you've been purchasing them?
Yes, I have. And
Yeah.
the game, it's, you read reviews about how this game kind of shakes up the Zelda formula in that you have access to all the items and you can go to the dungeons in any order that you want. And the interesting thing about that for me has been that I don't really know, you just don't really know what's coming up next. That's kind of why I rented all the items, because I was like, I don't even know what item this dungeon is going to require, and so there's kind of an air of mystery to the game that I really appreciate. And on that note, I don't really know what items to upgrade. Like last time I went to upgrade items, you have to collect, 10 of those little snail-like things, and that's how you can upgrade one of your items. So last time I went to upgrade an item, I thought, okay, I'm gonna upgrade this item that I haven't used in a dungeon yet. And whatever dungeon I choose to go to next is gonna use this item. I just know it. But no, it didn't. The last dungeon I completed used the hookshot, and I hadn't upgraded that yet. And so, I don't know. It's kind of very interesting format for the Zelda series. It's very cool.
Yeah, so have you been playing this with the 3D on?
I try to keep the 3D on as much as I can. And for the most part, it's pretty good looking, but it's in no way. Well, I've actually had one experience where the 3D was very useful, but it's not as crucial to the gameplay as 3D Land.
No, that's right. Yeah, no, it's all cosmetic, but I think it's worked surprisingly well considering it's based off the original Super Nintendo game in terms of style.
The 3D actually looks really good, and I think I was reading an Iwata Asks article about the game, and they talked about how they made the game in 60 frames per second, and so it runs a lot smoother, and the 3D actually looks a lot better as well. And I think it's the best looking 3D of any 3DS game so far.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you there. And I think as simple as, let me start again. One of the things I really do like about Link Between Worlds is the painting mechanic. So obviously it's shown heavily in the promotional materials, but I think it just works really well. So you're actually a lot further than I am now. Does it seem that kind of painting mechanic is stretching thin at this point, or do they keep introducing different ways to use it?
It's kind of hard to say. It doesn't feel like it's stretching thin, but in general, you're basically using it in the same way, just over and over and over again, you know, to move from one platform to the next.
Yeah, okay.
But it's still pretty fun, and quite often I've come across puzzles that I have struggled for a while on, and then I realize, like, oh, I just need to merge into the wall, and that's the solution.
One thing I want to ask is, I haven't looked as much on here, but where does this actually fit into the timeline? I'm trying to figure that out.
Well, it takes place 100 years, I believe, after A Link to the Past.
So that takes place in the Fallen Hero timeline. Okay.
Okay, I think that about wraps up A Link Between Worlds, and we'll now move on to the Nintendo news. We actually had a Nintendo Direct. So this one kind of went a bit under the radar. It wasn't quite the usual Nintendo Direct. I think it's quite easy to say here. But it was Nintendo Direct nonetheless. And it was to showcase their new software, which is basically a interactive museum tour for the Louvre. I just want to ask, before I go into any details here, did any of you actually get to watch this very odd Nintendo Direct?
I did not, knowing that this was just not really relevant to my area, but I did hear the bits, whatever, there were some comedic bits into this particular Direct.
Yeah, I think this was like the funniest Nintendo Direct they've actually put up. It's definitely worth a watch, even if you've got no interest in this software. Because basically how it was introduced, you had Iwata in the Louvre, and it started off fairly normal. Then goes that he's got a special guest come to show you about the new software. You know it's going to be funny because Miyamoto just kind of walks past a screen as if he's a tourist, and it's at that point where Iwata's kind of calling him over, so they're both kind of giggling to each other like little kids. That kind of just sets the tone for this Nintendo Direct, and it's basically those Iwata and Miyamoto going around the Louvre and just kind of showing off the different features of the software which is already in place. So if I kind of take a step back here, so this has kind of already been running at the Louvre now for about a year or so, it sounds like. And so what people have been able to do is when they go to the museum, they can essentially rent a 3DS as a tour guide, or as like a what would normally be an audio guide, but it does some extra features. It can detect where you are, so it knows kind of what you're looking at, and it can let you zoom into things, or it can just tell you more information. It can provide the audio guides. It could do some surprisingly clever things. So what this announcement was really about is they're putting a different version of this software out on the eShop, so people can go out and buy it. And obviously it's tweaked, so you don't need to be in the museum to experience it. And the way they've done that is, so you can now kind of walk in a 3D version of it, and you can, they've got, I think, 30 hours of audio, 400 pictures taken on there, as well as 600 3D photos of the museum itself. So it's going to have a very specific audience, this. It's very interesting to see kind of Nintendo promote this and give it the spotlight. And to be fair, I had a fairly good time just watching the video, and Miyamoto was making comments on certain pieces of artworks in the museum, and how, I wouldn't go as far as say how a certain piece inspired him, but he was mentioning how he had a copy of a certain piece at his college. He was joking along of the idea is on the 3D version of a certain model, he would have liked to have like this outdoor environment, but basically the people in charge wouldn't let him do that because that's not how it actually is. But it showed kind of a very more different human side to specifically Miyamoto here, which you don't usually get to see. Yeah, if you're listening to this and even if you've got no interest in the software, I'd recommend you hunt down that video. Not only is it funny, but you get to see a little insight in both Miyamoto and Iwata.
Like how these directs are kind of getting a little bit more humorous in each different rendition, whatever. I mean, first we have fruit, now we have this.
Yeah, definitely. But what I did like about this one, there wasn't any kind of silly props, as it were. It was almost just genuine human interactivity between the two. It's like as if it wasn't actually rehearsed. So they just went about and they filmed everything, and then they just cut the best bits. Yeah, it's just kind of really nice to watch that one. Where normally the Nintendo Directs are obviously very staged, you know, especially when the camera pulls back and he's just holding a banana staring at it. But just, yeah, it's just nice to see it, you know, not staged. See, I think that's going to cover that Nintendo Direct. I mean, usually we can stretch these ones out and go through all different bullet points, but that was pretty much the Nintendo Direct. They do seem to be coming at a fairly frequent pace, even if they are not as traditional as they may always be. So the next item of news is the Pikmin 3 DLC, which was announced previously, has now been released. This DLC actually introduces brand new stages into the game, whereas all the previous DLC has just remixed content which was already on the disc. If you've got Pikmin 3, there should be a free update which will let you have two of the stages for free, and you can buy the extra six stages, and you also get to play not only as Olimar, but as Louie as well, from Pikmin 2.
Mm.
And some of these stages seem to be taking place in an actual, like, house.
So Pikmin are now invading our house right now.
Yeah, so one of them's like this kind of festive one. So there's like a house with a Christmas tree. See, I think it's really cool for these environments. And to be fair, seeing this makes me a bit jealous that they didn't go more in that direction for free itself. Because it just looks very different to the normal outdoorsy environments. But yeah, I mean, if you're a fan of Pikmin, I haven't downloaded it yet, but this seems to be the DLC I get more so than the previous ones they already have done. Because it's all brand new content, and not only is it new stages, I'm not sure how cosmetic it's going to be, but you do get to play as Louie as well as Olimar. So it does look pretty cool.
I need to get on downloading these right now. I mean, it's Pikmin 3 is one of the titles out there, you know, I'm still up there as one of my favorite games for this past year. And I never did get, I mean, Bingo Battle, for instance, something I never got a chance to experience just because I never got anybody to play alongside me. And this is, but most of these are free, you're saying?
There's 8 in total, and you get the first 2 for free. So there'll be a software update, which probably has already downloaded, but you need to put the disc in for it to actually install. So yeah, I mean, hey, if you've played Pikmin, check out your Wii U, because you've got 2 new stages to check out.
This I gotta check out.
Yeah, same. I've still not got round to that yet, because of obviously 3D World and Zelda and all that. We actually have some news on some eShop releases, and these are the Sega 3D Classics line. These games have actually been out in Japan for quite a while now, or at least this 3D Classics line. But these are, I call them, remixes of previous Sega games, which enables them to have 3D and some other features. And one of the games are out already, but the general line is going to be Space Harrier and 3D Super Hang-On should be out already. Coming out shortly, you've got 3D Sonic the Hedgehog and 3D Altered Beast. And in a couple weeks' time, you've got Echo the Dolphin and Galaxy Force 2. A couple weeks after that, you've got Shinobi 3 and Streets of Rage. So, you know, a fair few number of games coming out. So I know that, at least in Japan, they've started on the second series of remixed Sega 3D games.
Don't you think this opens up the door for maybe another publisher, such as, like, Capcom, getting 3D releases, such as, like, you know, Mega Man, or... Actually, that just got me thinking. A Mega Man X 3D release.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, Nintendo obviously was doing something very similar when the 3DS first came out. And with the Nintendo titles, I can't remember what their range was called. But yeah, they were essentially doing that themselves, and Sega's gone off and done some of their own. So yeah, it kind of opens the gate for other companies to do similar efforts. It's also interesting how they're doing this instead of just putting the ROMs on the virtual console, as it were. They are taking the extra time. And apparently, the developer who's doing these remixes are kind of really focused on giving the player, like, all the options they need in terms of any sort of variants of the releases the games may have had in the past, making sure if there is any sort of regional differences between the games, making sure they're all accessible for everyone and you can toggle them on and off. So it seems it's the releases to get if you're interested in any of these games, portably.
Any of these you hope to pick up?
For myself, I'm just looking down the list here. I would be tempted for a few of them, actually. Space Harrier, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Shinobi 3 has...
Possibly, yeah. Shinobi 3?
That's the one that eyes me a little bit more, because Revenge of Shinobi was the one I played a lot as a kid on my friend's Genesis. And Space Harrier, I think I dabbled in that a little bit, but I can't recall, I think.
We'll move on to the next piece now, and this is some bad news, unfortunately.
Bad news? It's disappointing news.
Disappointing news, yeah. Shovel Knight, which was expected to be released around this time, has been delayed till, in quotes, early 2014. There's no further information than that, and so yeah, we're going to have a couple more months to wait on Shovel Knight, which is a shame, because that's shaping up to be a fantastic game.
Yeah, a nice little love letter to DuckTales and Mega Man.
It is, yeah. It's quite funny how that kind of Kickstarter came a lot before we had the news of the DuckTales remake. I feel like, if anything, that in itself may have got a Capcom's notice of DuckTales. But yeah, it should just be a couple more months till we get that game on the Wii U. Actually, I think it... Does that game also come out for the 3DS?
Yes, it is going to be on 3DS, PC, and I believe Wii U. And I'm going to have a hard time deciding whether I want to get this for my Wii U or my 3DS.
Yeah, I'm just thinking the same. That's going to be a tricky choice. Because in some ways, it might be better for the 3DS.
It does, but I may end up just buying for my Wii U just for the Digital Deluxe promotion. I mean, that's why I've been doing all my downloads just digitally lately.
So wouldn't it be nice if this timing just kind of matched up with the Mythical Universal account rolled onto the 3DS and Wii U, and you could buy one and have it for both? Wouldn't that be a lovely world to live in? Okay, and on that dreamy note, our final piece of news, and it's almost mock news, I've deliberately put this in, is a game called Scribblenauts Unlimited coming out in Europe the 6th of December. So this was a launch game in America?
You guys are finally getting that?
Apparently so. We've had the game which came out since, the Marvel-branded game, but Unlimited comes out in a couple days' time, us over here.
I'm perplexed by that.
It's an odd one, because I think it was very briefly released, and then it was pulled for some bizarre reason. But yeah, and it's taken about 10 months for it to pop back up. I think it actually did get favourable reviews originally, this game.
It was one of the... Yeah, it did. And, they were games I really got into as much, whatever. I liked how creative they were as far as, you know, as what you can create. Yet, I'm still shocked you guys are getting this for this late.
Yeah. I kind of hope it comes at some sort of price reduction. It just does seem a bit bizarre to get it literally a year later. Anyway. So, that's going to cover it for the Nintendo news. And we're going to move on now to our final feature, which is Mario's many power-ups.
Many sounds like an understatement in this case right now, given how...
Yes.
Yeah, I can't even figure out the right word for, like, you know, as far as how many power-ups this series has had.
So, yeah, in the show notes, I have put a condensed list, which I've pulled together from the internet, but it still is considerably long. I'm not going to bore anyone by just reading it from top to tail, like I could do sometimes, but I thought this would be a good opportunity to, since 3D World has very recently come out, is if we just kind of talk about what our particularly favourite power-up might have been in a particular Mario game, or in just 3D World itself, because there's quite a big overlap here.
I have to ask this, and this always bugs me as much, whatever. I mean, you have to, a lot of these, you look at the earlier games, for instance, and you have to kind of see, you know, the items that pop out that transform Mario or Luigi, for instance, into these, you know, into these different forms. And yet, even as a kid, I would say, like, why is it that a feather is used to give him a cape, and why is it that a leaf gives him the Tanuki suit? You know, these are questions that still bug me to this day.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that they do kind of go in themes, because Mario Bros. 3 had a lot of actual suits. I mean, it also did have the leaf. But then again, I did think there was an odd distinction between the Super Leaf and the Tanuki suit itself. So the leaf gave you the tail, and the Tanuki suit gave you kind of the full deal. And as we moved into, say, Mario 64, all the power-ups were caps. And more recently, in games like Galaxy, all the power-ups were mushrooms. Or at least the majority of them were. But they all kind of essentially transform you in a very similar way. I guess in the Galaxy game, all the mushrooms had limited amount of time they could be used for each.
I noticed on your list you forgot the Galaxy 2 power-ups.
Yeah, so I did cut some of these out because I thought the list was getting quite long as it was.
Yes, like you said, there's a lot of power-ups that are missing. But, you know, but my...
Still.
But my favorite is, my two favorite, obviously, are, I have to put the Tanuki suit on there, mostly because, one, it gives me my dream. I mean, as a kid, I enjoyed it, like, you know, just seeing these different power-ups and these different levels that, like, this game that just wowed me as a kid. And yet it kind of gives me the idea of, like, why haven't some baby onesie company made baby onesies out of, like, the Mario Brothers 3 suits?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, I mean, if I had a child, I would buy those all up and force them to wear it. I don't care if I'm a bad parent or not. But, aside from the Tanuki suit, I really like the cape from Mario World. I mean, I don't know, just something gives Mario that extra superhero quality to him.
Yeah, no, I must admit, I was a fan of the cape. It's also just visually looks quite good. Just seeing Mario kind of fly across with his big cape kind of.
Added bonus when he's riding on Yoshi. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's not on the list. I mean, whether Yoshi counts as a power-up is, I guess, a gray area. But I guess he essentially does, in terms of he gives you new, a bit, different abilities, and you play it in a different style. Especially also in Galaxy 2, Yoshi himself, and I guess in Mario World, Yoshi himself gets his own power-ups while you're riding on top of him. I mean, Yoshi doesn't make an appearance in Mario World.
Are you saying Yoshi does not make appearance in Mario? What?
Okay, let me try that again. My train of thought was going to 3D World. I forgot to add the 3D in there. Obviously, Yoshi appeared in Mario World. So, on 3D World, though, have you yet stumbled upon the double cherry?
No, I have not.
So that's quite cool. I mean, I've only used it a few times so far. I'm sure you've seen what it does from like the promo material, which is basically it creates another of the same character you are. So if you're Mario and you run into it, another Mario will pop out, and you control them both the analog stick, and because they're kind of separated, they will, if one hits a wall, one the other one will carry on running still. So you often need to get them both to kind of run into a wall to kind of line them up before you go anywhere. But they do some clever puzzles. There's some kind of pressure sensitive bits where you need a certain amount of players, and it also works for the double cherry power up. So if you have multiple characters, you can do it that way instead. But it's not just for the two. I'm not sure how many it goes up to, but you can get different double cherries, and more characters start popping out.
So it kind of basically kind of gets to that point where it's almost like that GameCube tech demo of Mario called, was it Mario 128?
Yeah, I'm not sure it gets to the extremes of 128, but I'm pretty sure you can get more than if you were four players. I'm pretty sure you can have more than four characters going at the same time with that. And on top of that, they can have power-ups as well. So if they all have the fire flowers, if you press, the button to fire off the fire flower, they'll all fire them off. And so I guess you can combine them in the different ways. So yeah, you could have a load of different Cat Marios running around, or
You said your favorite. What were your favorite suits?
I'm not sure I actually decided on my favourite suits. Let's think of something a bit obscure here. Actually, one I did include, which I think is only appearance in one game, Mario Land 2, which I guess it's technically called the Carrot Power Up. So this was kind of very similar to the cape, and I guess the Tanuki suit, which basically gave Mario giant bunny ears, and he could, I guess, flap them or wiggle them, and it would kind of slow his descent.
He wiggled them, I think.
Yeah, just because it hasn't made a reappearance, I thought I'd give that one a mention. It was, I guess, it has its closest similarity to the Cat Mario, at least visually. But yeah, we've not seen that return. I guess just because there was overlapping, I mean, it was essentially some sort of cross between the cape and the.
It was kind of a simple retread, almost.
Yeah. One I never really understood is the Kuribo shoe, though.
Yeah, that little thing.
So you can, like, what,
What?
walk across spiky level, like platforms? But I just thought it was kind of really uncontrollable whenever I managed to get hold of one of those. It's really slow and.
At that point, when playing that game as a kid, when I saw that, I just realized, okay, where do they come up with this stuff?
So, how about you, Holly, then? Are there any particular power-ups which stick out for you from previous games?
Well, we already kind of talked a lot about one of my favorites, which was the Cape Feather from Super Mario World.
Okay.
But aside from that, the Metal Cap from Super Mario 64 kind of sticks out to me because, Mario just looks cool when he's metal. And it's, kind of a neat concept that he can go underwater and it provides a few gameplay twists and puzzles in Super Mario 64 that are fun. And also the music that plays when you have the metal cap is really awesome.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I
And
think it
Mio.
was it starting from Mario 64 that they started introducing music with the power-ups, with the exception of, say, the Invincibility Star?
I think it was with the Mario 64 that was the only case where they actually did that for just specific power-ups.
But yeah, one we haven't mentioned yet,
Well,
but it's definitely worth mentioning, is the people.
I
Oh,
think
sorry.
I think the reason they did that is because, there were just abilities that didn't last for a while.
So yeah, I think they might have done the same for the Galaxy power-ups, which also last for a limited amount of time. So I think they have their own jingle as well. But yeah, one we haven't mentioned yet is the Pea Balloon, also from Mario World. So this one kind of stands out, because, yeah, it would just make you burst in, well, not burst, but kind of deform into a big balloon shape and float up. And I don't remember it being used much in the game, but the first time I saw that, it just kind of blew my mind. It just looked crazy.
It blew your mind, as yes. Long as it blows Mario up.
I think it's got to be one of the more wackier power-ups on here. There is a very big range. Can anything beat the pea balloon in terms of its weirdness?
I just remember how it was kind of, it was kind of a little bit hard to control a little bit, but I remember when trying to get those Yoshi coins back in the day, like when I was playing the game, how it always gets to that point where I'm just like, I'm close, and then just deflates, and I'm like, gotta do this again.
Actually, on the subject of weird power-ups, I'm not sure it counts as a power-up, I didn't see it on the list, but from 3D Worlds, where you can get the Goomba heads, I've not seen that in the game itself yet, but that's pretty freaky. So I assume you've seen this in the trailer?
No.
If not, I will try my best to describe the situation. Apparently, according to this video, some Goombas you stomp on will kind of leave a Goomba head. Seemingly it's a power-up, it kind of spins and sparkles. When you run into it, the Goomba head kind of replaces your upper body. So it looks like a Goomba head with Mario legs running around. And apparently the point of this is, then Goombas don't run towards you because they just think you're a Goomba. And on this particular level, there was, just loads and loads of Goombas. And with the Goomba head, you could just sneak past them all. But it looks very strange. And I want to find that level. I'm sure you can make some interesting screenshots and send them up to Miiverse.
It's always a joy getting to that level and, you know, finding that power-up and realizing, like, and then controlling it. And you're like, this is great! Yeah, I get this!
And yeah, you can be this, like, weird Goomba head Mario legs thing jumping on other Goombas. I'm sure they'll play up that with some weird ideas. And, I mean, it would kind of go around in a complete circle here, but I think that's just a good example. All the different things 3D World can introduce, because I bet they only use that idea on a single level, but they decided it was worthwhile, you know, developing that system just so it would be weird for that level, because you wouldn't be expecting to have a Goomba head.
The mini power-ups on Mario right now, I mean, it just makes you think, what do they come up with next? I mean, you feel like, are they just drawn out of the ideas, or...
I think this list actually gives me more faith that they're not running out of ideas. Just as how many different things they've managed to kind of incorporate as different power-ups. And, you know, there's a little bit of overlap here and there. They've treaded a lot of different ground and a lot of different things here. And the fact that they're a game like 3D World actually introduces a whole bunch of new ones, opposed to just using the old ones. Yeah, that gives me more faith that they're not running out of any sort of creativity in terms of what they can do with Mario. Do we have any final words? Any kind of last costume or power-up you want to highlight?
I was always really impressed with the propeller cap in New Super Mario Bros. Wii, because, you know, it's a New Super Mario Bros. Game, so there's nothing super groundbreaking that you can add, with motion control and point control. But the fact that you get the propeller mushroom, and I remember the first time that I got a propeller mushroom, and the game has this little icon above your head that says, shake the Wii remote. You shake it and you fly up into the sky and it just feels good. I don't know. It's a really simple but effective use of motion control. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That would seem to be one of the instances where mapping an actual action to a motion seemed to work quite well. I mean, I just felt, as you just said, it just felt right. Where it could have just been done with a single button, kind of giving that control a little shake and then seeing your character kind of thrust up into the air with the propeller. Yeah, it worked quite well. Anything final to say, Harrison?
I'm good right now.
Nah, excellent. Okay, and that's going to wrap up our piece on Mario's many, many power-ups. And with that, it comes to the end of the show. As always, if you've got any comments or questions you'd like us to talk about on a future show, you can send them to contact@infendo.com. Alternatively, if you're listening to this on your web browser, you can scroll down to the comments section and add in a question there. So this has been myself, Lewis Pugh, also Harrison Milfeld, and Holly Felmuth. Hope you've enjoyed the show, and this has been Infendo Radio.
Bye, everybody.
See you guys.
See you later.